Today, according to our Christian calendar, is called Epiphany Sunday. And the obvious question to ask would be, how many of you know what Epiphany Sunday means? Please put up your hand. Just if you are so shy, that means the whole congregation don't. Not even one single person know what Epiphany Sunday is. Not even Reverend Matt. Okay, who knows what Epiphany Sunday means? Okay. Revelation. Okay. Well, that proves that this is very relevant to talk about this Sunday. Okay. Epiphany Sunday happens on the second Sunday after Christmas. And it is the revelation, the manifestation, the revealing of Christ to the Gentiles, as represented by the Magi story that we just read. Okay? So that's why the relationship is the revelation of Christ to the Gentiles. But why is this story so important? Why is Matthew, in his story of the Gospel of Jesus, have to include this story? Because for us, this story gives us deeper understanding of who Jesus is. You see, For Matthew, he is very concerned to proclaim the gospel among the Jews, to prove that Jesus is the promised Messiah for the Jews. He is the King of the Jews. And then right in the beginning, he talks about Jesus, a record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Jesus, Matthew wants to point out that he is in the line of King David, and he is also the son of Abraham, the promised offspring of Abraham. So Matthew, it is important to point out Jesus is the King of the Jews. But then what does it have significance to the Gentiles? The people who are non-Jews. The visit of these Magi from the East, they are not Jews. They are foreigners. They speak different language than Hebrew. And this story comes so that they come to worship the infant Jesus. And it gives universal significance to who Jesus is. Because even foreigners, Gentiles, come to visit and worship Jesus. So Jesus is not just for the Jews. He is also the King of all the people on earth. Therefore, Epiphany is important in this aspect because it's showing our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, is for all people, Jews and Gentiles. Now let me refresh a bit of the background story, because Christmas story typically all mixed up with our traditions and sometimes how we learn Christmas from as a child. So who are these Magi? They are basically astronomers. At that time, maybe they are, it's all mixed up, they are scientists, they are priests, or maybe they are magicians from the East, which a lot of Bible scholars think that they come from the place where it's now Iran and Iraq, in that area, where the Babylonian civilization was founded. So from where that place is to Palestine, Jerusalem, It is a long journey, especially without car, by camels. It's about 900 miles, which would take about 3 to 6 months, depending on how fast they travel, to come. Imagine you take a journey for 3 to 6 months to come to worship an infant, a person that you called King of the Jews. So it shows that how they are devoted and how they feel that it is so significant for this newborn king to spend that time and energy and resources to find Jesus. And they probably travel between as a party. They probably travel as a group. We have songs that say that three kings come from the east, you know. But the Bible never says three. So some tradition is between 3 to 12 people to travel as a group to come to find Jesus. And Jesus at that time is probably a toddler now. A few months to 2 years old. So you see, some of the Christmas pageant, we see that, you know, on Christmas Eve, you know, the baby Jesus was born, and then the shepherds come, and then the magi come. Or it seems to happen on the same night, on the night that Jesus was born. But no, this has happened probably 1 year to 2 years before, after Jesus was born. Because here, Jesus was described as a child, and they live not in a main, in a stable, but live in a house. So this, with this background, let me point out to you three significant facts about Jesus through this story that Matthew described. First, Matthew wants us to know Jesus' birth has a sign of an unusual star. In Chinese legend, it's very common. It says, whenever there's a king was born, and then a Chinese legend always says, oh, there's a star to symbolize this king, for this king. But not so for the Jewish Hebrew culture. You know, in a Hebrew culture, nobody, not anybody, get a sign, get a star at birth. You know, not Moses, not King David, not prophets, Isaiah or Elijah, all these, no important person get a star in the heaven at his birth. But Jesus did. So Jesus is very special. The Old Testament did talk about a person with a star. Remember in number 24, remember this guy called Balaam? Remember him? The false prophet Balaam? He was engaged by King Moab to pay him a lot of money and then come to Israelite camps and curse them, you know. God said, no, don't go them. Don't curse my people. But Balaam was given a lot of money. The intention is to curse the Israelites. And then God turned around Balaam's oracles. Instead of cursing the Israelites, he blessed the Israelites. And one of those converted oracles says like that. It says, he will grow up, a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Instead of cursing the Israelites, Balaam was, without his control, he said that out of Israel, a star will come out of Jacob. And then a scepter, a person with the controlling authority, will rule in Israel. So this is the prophecy of a star will come out. So Jesus' birth is the only one that signifies by an unusual star. So he must be very unique, special, because God placed a star to signify his birth. Second, Jesus is the fulfillment of scripture after scripture after scripture. In this chapter 2 of Matthew, it details Jesus' birth, where he was born, predicted by prophets 700 years earlier. Micah, the prophet, 700 years earlier, predicted the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And then later on, the prophet Hosea talked about the Messiah will live in Egypt as a temporary refugee and eventually come back to Egypt. And later on, talk about Jesus, the Messiah, will grow up in Nazareth. Okay? Think for a moment. A prophet 700 to 600 years ago prophesying somebody where he's going to be birthed, what happened to his childhood, and then later on which city, which place he's going to grow up. 700 years ago in China is the Yuan Dynasty. Think about the odds that someone in Yuan Dynasty predicted, Pastor Wong, that I will be born in Macau, grew up in Hong Kong, and eventually come back to Canada for so many years. What are the odds of that? But Jesus fulfilled scriptures. Not just the three that I talk about. Bible scholars talk about 350 prophecies fulfilled, fitted for Jesus, including some of you are familiar, especially at his death, crucifixion, you know, how Jesus was thirsty, how Jesus' clothing was torn apart by the soldiers, and then the inner clothing, because it's just one piece, you cannot torn apart, so they cast lot for it. You know, how Jesus, not one single bone was broken, and including all the details about where this Jesus was placed in a borrowed tomb. All these were fulfilled, was talked about in the Old Testament. No wonder Jesus has at one time in the talk to the disciples going to Emmaus, he says, all the scriptures talk about me. What are the odds of these? Hundreds of years ago, prophecies talk about one single person fulfilled in the life of Jesus. So Jesus is an historical figure. The Old Testament is an historical document. And Jesus is the historical person that is fulfilling all these prophecies of the Old Testament. All the life of Jesus is fulfilled, is according to the plan of God. Thirdly, the Magi worshipped Jesus. And that is very important. This is the first recording of people specifically worship Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, it talks about the shepherds notified by the angels going to visit to find Jesus. It did not say that the shepherds worshiped Jesus. This is the first time that people worship Jesus, and they are done by Gentiles. Foreigners, non-Jews, came to visit Jesus and worship Jesus. In verse 11, it says, these magi saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. You see, for the Jewish people, you only worship God. You know, if an angel appear to you, and you worship, bow down and worship the angel said, no, you don't worship me. You only worship God. You see, if you worship any person other than God, it's idolatry. You break down the first and the second Ten Commandments. So it is very significant. This is written out of Matthew's eye, out of his pen. It says the Magi came to worship Jesus. Hence, therefore, Jesus is both heavenly, signified by a star, historical and earthly, predicted by the Old Testament historical documents, came on earth, and he is divine. This is who Jesus is. This is what Matthew wants us to know about Jesus. And I think this is very relevant, especially nowadays. In this time, we talk about a lot of talk about every road leads to Rome. We talk about tolerance. We talk about a lot of times for tolerance, tolerate other people's faith, religion. There are even some Christians talk about, is the Christian God the same as the Muslim God? There are a lot of talk about, you know, we should include everybody. But you see, in today's message, it emphasized that Jesus Christ is unique. You know, you don't talk about a generic God as is, just God just means a higher being. When the Bible talk about God, when Christians talk about God, it have a very special content. They talk about our God as Father, Son, and the Spirit. All three persons are divine and yet one God. It's very special. Our God, our conception of God is based from the Bible. The Bible reveals that Jesus is God, the Son of God, is the second person. And Jesus, this God, this second person, have a very specific task, who died on the cross and resurrected on the third day. So other religions rejected Holy Trinity. Other religion rejected Jesus died on the cross and resurrected. So today's passage reminds us how special is Jesus. A sign signifies his birth. He is the fulfillment of all scripture, predicted, arranged by Heavenly Father long time ago. And people worship him because he is divine. So to conclude today's reading of Epiphany Sunday, Gabriel just now read Ephesians chapter 3. And this chapter, Apostle Paul wrote about he being an apostle for the Gentiles. God gave him the grace, the privilege to reveal a mystery that God ordained long time ago. And I want you to pay attention to what the apostle said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. It was read already. Paul said, "This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus." And that is the great mystery of God. We are sharers together with the Jews, Gentiles and Jews, all under one body, our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Sovereign God, we thank you for your amazing plan of salvation, which you have started long time ago, at the creation, before the creation, to choose us that we belong to you, that we are part of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this amazing grace and mystery that is revealed now as we worship you on this Epiphany Sunday. Help us to appreciate everything that you have done for us. You make sense of our life. You give meaning to why we live on earth. And we can continue to live 2019 every day in faith, in hope, and in love to glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray.